I don't do this microphone, so, but I'm doing it because our pastors are important, so I'm up here doing it afraid. My heart is racing right now, though, I tell you. Our first speaker is really special. She looks just like me. Julia Guglia. Oh. Oh. Just come on. If I can do it, you can do it.
Can I go up there? Okay. Oh, man.
All right.
So I'm talking about four special people, Pastor Jimmy, Dana, Stephanie, and Gerald. I'm starting a few years ago on Easter. I remember specifically because Pastor Jimmy spoke about unconditional love. I so desperately wanted unconditional love, and he spoke about God's love for us. That sermon hit hard, so I went up for prayer afterwards, and Dana prayed over me. That day, I gave myself to Christ. Ever since that day, they have been there for me tremendously. One thing out of many that stands out to me is their encouragement. They genuinely care and are with me every step of the way. Through these years, Dana and I have grown close, and I trust her 100%, and I know she wants the best for my life. I remember one time she said, "I'm going to see you through, Julia." Ever since that day, I've prayed for positive people to surround me. Over the years, I've grown close with Pastor Gerald and Stephanie. Nothing stands out more and shows love more than praying for someone. They are genuine people and truly care for people. One Sunday, not too long ago, I was leaving church early, and Stephanie took time to ask what's going on and prayed with me. She confronted me in a godly way to help me deal with some things instead of running away. She encouraged me and cared enough to take time and get on the right track again through prayer and support. So thank you. One verse that stands out is, "We love because he loves us first," and that's what they demonstrate endlessly. They love me because he loved them first. And as I learned about unconditional love, I realized that these people care for me, and I am so beyond thankful for that because I never had that, and so thank you. I realized that he put these four people in my life for a reason, and each of them demonstrate his love because he loved them first. In Proverbs 27:17, it says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." And in life, we need godly friends to stand with us and keep fighting the good fight because we were not made to do this alone. That's why it's important to have godly and positive people in your life, and that's what they are for me. With that being said, I just want to thank you guys for loving me and supporting me through this and seeing me through. You guys mean the world to me, and I love you. Thank you.
Yay. Yeah, that was really good. Jordan and Jasmine, are you guys ready?
Sure. All right. We were asked to come speak about Pastor Jimmy and Dana and also Pastor Johnny. Jasmine and I gave our lives to Christ before we came to New Freedom. Some things happened in our old church. So we decided to come here. I played softball with Pastor Jimmy, and he seemed like a really nice guy. So I was like, let's go try New Freedom. So we walked in the door, and Pastor Jimmy and Dana welcomed us with open arms. A lot of churches you go to, the pastors are, like Jimmy has said a couple times, mythical creatures. You only see them when they're up here. You don't see them outside of church. You don't see them after service. They go back and do their whatever they do back there. I don't know. But it was really cool to see the lead pastor mixing in with everybody before service and talking and getting to know everybody. And that really stood out for Jasmine and I. And we felt very welcomed into New Freedom because of that. And I feel as a young couple, it's important to have, not old, I'm not calling you guys old. They've been married almost longer than me and Jasmine have been alive. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. But I feel like it's important to have older than yourself, older couples around you as somewhat of role models. And I can't think of a better couple to model our relationship than Jimmy and Dana, because they love each other. You can see how much they love each other, but they don't show it. There's no physical love between them, but you know it. But I feel like that's a good thing to have in a Christian environment, because it's a Christian environment. Thanks. I got someone's support. And also, Pastor Johnny, over the last year, me and Johnny have grown extremely close. Not only has he become my mentor in youth ministries, but he's also become one of my best friends. And Linda's the same way for Jasmine. We're so close as a family, and not only are they friends and our pastors, but we also feel that Johnny and Linda, we found our spiritual parents in them, and they lead us, they guide us, and they're always there for us no matter what. And I have two occasions I've called Johnny and I've called Jimmy crying, don't know what to do, and they've both taken time out of their day to pray for me and see me through. And we just want to say we love you guys. Thank you for everything.
That was great. No physical love between the two of you. That was hilarious. That was funny. The next speaker is one of the wisest women I know. She has blessed me so much. Marie and Romy, I don't know if you both are coming up. Just Marie. Okay, that's good.
Smaller stature, large print. It's necessary. Anyway, I have to set this down. This is actually meant to be an affirmation. Not necessarily is it a marketing plea or a church membership gathering, but I hope it is. Because our pastors, our staff here are pretty amazing, and I just need a little help here, so I'm going to start with Elena. So Elena brings it all together, and she makes it fun, spiritually fun. There's such a depth to her. If you don't know her, you really need to know her, because she pulls that all together. Of course, don't you just want your kids to have fun? But when they come home and that's all they had, and what did you do today? Well, we played games. You know, you really want someone to give them that, the meat of the word, and Elena does that. Elena's amazing, and she's been supportive of our kids at camp. She gave, you know, who gives up a whole week of pay just to go to camp with kids and be there? And Elena's that one. Johnny and Linda, now I'm going to take this off for Johnny and Linda, although they are very fun. Johnny and Linda are like the auntie and the uncle that you always wanted to have. When I think of that, I'm like, you know, I didn't have many of those, but I would love to have a Johnny and Linda as an auntie and an uncle. But they're more than that. They actually are the ones that deal with the dirt in the youth. They're like the compost pile. So it just keeps getting thrown on them and thrown on them. And literally, it is the waste of the world. And a compost pile is very rich. It's fertile ground when the work is done. After the bugs and the worms and everything have eaten its way, it's very fertile. And it's used on the whole garden. The whole garden flourishes and benefits from the compost pile. And that's what Johnny and Linda do. They do that really well. And Lystra as well and Jacob are part of that team. And the other word I need to give you, because really this is the one that ties it all together, is cultivate. And I looked at the thesaurus for this, and it says To cultivate is to grow, to rear, to plant, to sow, to improve, to make better, to refine, to elevate, to train and develop. And that's what they all do. And Gerald and Stephanie are like pillars. Now, when you think of this church, they've been here since the beginning. And Gerald and Stephanie are both rock solid. They're fortified. They're forged together. And that's what I see in Gerald and Stephanie. They are a defense of the church. Now, think of the church as the garden. We're taking the compost. We're putting it on the garden. You know, if you don't have a fence or a bounder or a foundation to protect your seedlings, then you're going to have a problem. They'll be eaten away. Gerald and Stephanie do that. They are the defense, today being a non-Packer day, but they are the defense of the church, and they help do that. They protect this foundational church, the seedlings that have been planted here, and do it vigorously. And then there's Sarah. Now, I know she's not been put up here, but Sarah, if you don't know Sarah Wirtz, you need to know Sarah Wirtz. To me, Sarah Wirtz is a nurse. Dana's a nurse, but Sarah's a nurse. Sarah's job is to take the vitals of the church. Her real job is to be a filter. So what she does is when you come in that door, Sarah's there. She greets you. She listens to you. She dissolves it. She puts it down on paper and makes it factual. And then she takes it to the doctor. He's the doctor. And the doctor can't do anything with you unless he has the vitals. And he needs that. But Sarah's really careful to only give him the vitals so that he can run and operate this church, this organization. And Sarah, when I think of Sarah, I got three different things I didn't plan on this morning, but we're like glue. Have you ever used Elmer's glue on porcelain and then washed it in the dishwasher? What happens? Falls apart because it's water soluble. Then there's tight bond glue. Well, tight bond is really meant for wood, and you can do the same, but it has a color to it. So if you put it on your china or porcelain, it doesn't do the complete job. And then there's one of my favorite things nowadays are glue, Gorilla Glue. And Sarah is Gorilla Glue at this church. Sarah, and one thing I found really cool about Gorilla Glue, it dries white. So I put shoes together, I put different things together. But Sarah is Gorilla Glue. Not only is she Gorilla Glue, I put up a video the other day of a silverback gorilla. And I've never seen, I just laughed and laughed. I watched that so many times because a silverback gorilla digs up dirt and throws it at these bunch of gardeners out of his fence. He's really annoyed by them. But then he runs. He throws the dirt and then he runs. But I think of Sarah as like a silverback gorilla because it just slides off her back. And she just takes it, but she knows how to dissolve it and put it where it belongs and put the pegs in the holes where they belong. That's Sarah. Sarah's as tight and good as you can get. She's the salt of the earth. Now, Jimmy and Dana, they're the cultivators. And really, they are the focused ones. Their mission and plan is to stick to the plan. The word God gave them. The plan God gave him for this church. And I think of Jimmy, you know, he's even donned some Green Bay Packers stuff lately. You know, you can take the boy out of Tennessee, but you can't take Tennessee out of the boy. We still know with that southern drawl that Jimmy is Jimmy. And but we love them so much. They're wonderful. They cultivate. Dana, her gifting is the worship. If you were here yesterday, the very first song, bam, you're in the throne room. I mean, that's what her gift is, and that's what she does. And it's meant to be a fortress for this church. It's the front wall. It's the first line of defense for a church is worship and prayer. And that's what Dana and Jimmy are. They're worship and prayer. Coupled together, they're a strong tower that lead us to the strong tower, who's Jesus. They bring us into the throne room. And Jimmy teaches us to pray, you know. Okay, you're probably at this place where you're wondering, okay, there she goes, many words. Yes, it's true. But you know what one of their other jobs are? And this is for you, Kason, is to remove masks. people come into church with mass. I've come in, other people have come in. They come from other churches, they're wounded, they're in despair, and they've got a bunch of negativity on them or whatever. But they come in with mass. Jimmy and Dana, however they do it, only through God, through prayer and praise, do they remove the mass. There's no mask here. Jimmy and Dana do not have masks. Anybody that knows them knows this is a church of truth and peace. And they are the first line. They are the first line. And the worshipers that Dana's raising up is another line of defense. That's what we need. And the man of prayer has taught me. And I even said I wasn't going to do this. It's just a word of affirmation. But he's taught me to pray. Not so many words. Just pray, Marie. Pray. And it's changed so many things in our lives. And so if you come here and you know there's no mass, there's no fear, you go into the throne room, and then you'll be led with prayer. That's what this church will do for you, and that's what they do. And I really see, and I don't know, do you mind standing up, leadership? Stephanie, Gerald, Dana, Jimmy, Sarah, Johnny, Linda. But these guys, can you guys like step forward toward me? Just step forward and make a line. And I wasn't sure if we were going to do this, but I'm going to do it. Okay, but this is your line of defense right there. And then I want you to keep looking that way because we're following you guys. You're yoked up. You're like Clydesdales. If you've ever seen them in person, they're amazing. They have blinders on. They're yoked together. And the ones that don't want to yoke fight. But the Clydesdales are trained, and they're equipped for the road ahead. And their blinders are on, and their face is forward. And they're, like I said, they're teamed up. We're in the cart behind them. But we're following because they are paving the way. And they are our first line of defense. And I wish you would pray with me, or at least raise your hands or lift your hands toward them and say, Pastor, Jimmy, Dana, Johnny, Linda, Sarah, Gerald, Stephanie, Elena, we have your backs. We have your backs. Where you lead, we will follow. You are the shepherds of this church. You're our leaders. You're our hope for tomorrow and the hope of our youth, our messed up kids. We know we can trust them with you. Our little ones, we know we can trust them with you. And we thank you for that, God. Thank you for sending them to this little place in Green Bay, Wisconsin, for our city, for our village, for our nation, Lord. Teach us how to pray more. Teach us how to praise more, God. But we thank you for their example because they're fortified. They're forged together as a team. And nothing can hold them back when we are behind them and we push them forward. It's our job to propel. So thank you, God, for that. You're the wind beneath their feet, Lord, and we thank you for that. Amen.
Thanks, Marie. That was really good. Chris and Jen are our next speakers.
Good morning, everybody. I'm a little bit of alive today. I came to prayer at 9 o'clock, and I don't know if everyone knows about prayer at 9 a.m., but highly recommend you come because, man, am I full of God this morning just by being in his presence and him being able to work within me. Thank you, Randy, for praying with me today. It was phenomenal. So if you guys at all feel it on your heart or feel within, and you're knowing that God's calling you to do that, step out and do it because your life will change dramatically and it's going to help all of us here within the congregation and abroad. So first of all, I just want to acknowledge what a wonderful way to lead us this morning. Great job. And I want to kind of just share a little bit about the church here before I get into the leadership. Last year I went to a Bible study for men and blew me away how transparent the men in Christ are and within this church. I'm sitting there, and they start sharing the things they're dealing with, and I'm like, I realize that they understand exactly the things I go through. respect, admiration grew out of that like you cannot imagine, leaps and bounds. And I felt a comfort zone when I came to talk with them because of the fact that they were real. They're not up here putting on a show. They're not religious. You know, this isn't Christian and Easter Christianity. This is coming and having a relationship with God and understanding that we are weak in our flesh. So praise you guys for that. I really want to give God the glory the most. A lot has happened to me in the last year. I lost my job in June. And I had a 28-year career in the industry, and my company let me go. And it was really a trial. Within an hour, I had a call from Jimmy. You know, I'm here for you, whatever you need, ready to pray. And throughout this whole time of being with this church, if I put a Facebook message out there, I will have a response within 10 minutes from that man. He'll pray for me. He'll direct me to Christ. He'll do what is really needed. And there are far too many people out there, I believe, in the traditional churches that they don't understand how important it is always to go to God. And that's where he leads you. I want to hear from the source, but it's easy to forget about that. And since then, my life with Christ has changed leaps and bounds. I've probably got more intimacy and more relationship with Jesus than I ever have in 15 years. And it's because of the ministry that's being done here. And Jimmy, I just got to thank you. That is tremendous. Dana, your anointing on worship, they lead through example. When you're on the pulpit and the word is coming out of you and how God has touched my heart, amazing. Thank you for that. I just wanted to mention those couple things this morning. I don't want to get too wordy here, and I know my wife has been just waiting to have this microphone out of my hand, so I'm going to hand it over to her.
I'm like Sarah. I'm not a talker upstage. I'm small group talk. I just wanted to say thank you to all our pastors because you guys are real. You're not phony. You're not fake. And Jimmy and Dana, my spiritual parents, just thank you for all you do. You know, when we came to this church 2 years ago, we were coming as a visitation because we knew Ron and Amy, and the sermon that you preached that day was God's vision being different than our vision. And we knew when we left the service that God was calling us to Green Bay. And we're so blessed to be here with you guys. So thank you.
I just have one final thing. I'm sorry about this. Gerald, I beyond words, thank you for all you've done for me. A real relationship with the man of God. He's like a big brother to me, and I just want you to know that. Thank you.
Natalie, Bianchi is next.
It's bright up here. So I'm kind of in the same boat as many of you. I don't really speak like this. I'm also, if I'm not between a 4 and a 7, I'm crying. And I was fine until a minute ago, and I'm about 6 and a half, so bear with me through this. A little background on me. My sister actually brought me here a couple years ago. Some of you know her, Sarah Bianchi. I came here with her thinking sharing a church would really be something great for our relationship. And when I came here, I met Jimmy, and during that service, there was a guest speaker, and I know the guest speaker had called the church up front to pray, lots of prayer that day. My sister was one that jumped up right away, and I left that day thinking, this just isn't for me. Like, y'all are praying, I'm out. So, fast forward to May of this year, and my sister, having been in Argentina, I just was going through some hardships, had a void in my life, and she kept insisting, new freedom, new freedom. All right, I'll go. So again, came to church by myself with my son. Everybody knew him because he had gone a lot with my sister. So he kind of made things a lot more awkward. I really wanted to just be in the back and not know anybody, but everybody kept coming up and saying hi because they knew Caden. So that day, Jimmy introduced himself, and I remember seeing Stephanie. I had no idea who you were, and she gave me a hug as a hello, and it wasn't the kind that you give strangers or the one that you give after a first date. It's like one of those genuine, tight grip hugs, and again, I think she said her name, but I was too involved in the situation in the moment, and I was humbled, but also weirded out. The next week, I talked to my sister, and I said, you know, I don't know if it's for me, but I'm going to go again. So that next week, I actually got prayed over by the Pipers. It was after service, and I just had some one-on-one time with them, and I was about 11 that day, so I was crying a lot. And Jimmy was standing next to me in the corner of my eye, and about 5 minutes just standing there. And when I was done praying, he's like, I just wanted to introduce myself before you left. And in my head, I'm like, yeah, we did that last week. I know. But I left, and I called my sister, and I said, yeah, you know, the last church I went to, I'd never even known the pastor, never been introduced to him. I was there for about 2.5 years, so it's cool that he wants to make it a point. I'm Jimmy. So then I wasn't going to go. I wasn't going to come back. I just felt like, I don't know. There's just it's very intimate, and there's a lot of people that want to pray over me and get to know me. And I mean, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming for somebody who just kind of a hermit. I go home, and I don't know. So the third week I came, and Jimmy had called people to the front for prayer, and I remember sitting with Gerald and Stephanie, and I got prayed over. Again, lots of crying, so I apologize. This is I'm sure you never get to see this face because it's always covered with tears, but on my way out of church, Jimmy approached me and said, hey, you know, thanks for coming. I'm Jimmy the pastor. I'm not lying. I had called my sister that day. She's in Argentina for missionary school. And I said, you know, I don't know what it is, this church, it makes me feel really uncomfortable, but I'm going to continue going. And I said, it's crazy. I don't know anybody there. I'm scared. But there's genuineness in these people. And they want to know me. I mean, I know Jimmy. But I came to New Freedom as my last resort. I was dealing with a lot of hardship, feeling lost, scared, and really alone. And I don't have time to go on about everybody and all my interaction with Dana and Jimmy, or Gerald and Stephanie, Johnny or Elena. But I appreciate all you do for me and for my son and my family. You prayed for me before I even knew you. You pray for me now. You were a big part in my journey of surrendering to Christ. And I don't, the words thank you just don't do enough for that gift at all. And though today you don't greet me with, hi, I'm Jimmy, I'm the pastor, I still get those sincere hugs, those Stephanie hugs, because there's no other way to describe it, so I coined that term for you. You've given me friendship and laughter, and what started as my last resort here has really become my home. So So I really appreciate all of you and what you've done.
Cilicia, did I say that right? Cilicia. I practiced like 100 times beforehand. Cilicia. She goes to youth group at Ignite, right, on Sundays? So she just has a word for Johnny and Linda.
All right. Well, I'm like her, that I cry about everything. And I don't want to cry, but I probably will. But this all goes back to summer camp, and my madrina Felipa had invited me, and I was like, Bible camp? Like, really, Cilicia, Bible camp? I don't think so. But I ended up saying yeah, and then as the days got closer, I was like, why did I say yeah? And my mom's like, oh, you need to pack and all this stuff, and I'm like, oh. You know, and it was just bad. And I got there, and everybody was all welcoming, and I was just like her. I was like, why are all these people trying to talk to me? Why are they trying to hug me? You know, just why? And it was just weird at first. And the first few days, it was hard for me because everybody was so into it already. Like, everybody knew God. And I showed up not believing in God. I really didn't. And it was weird because everybody was like, oh, we're going to do devotions and whatever. And I didn't know what to write. And everybody was into God, and it was hard for me because my whole life I had grown up as a Catholic, and I had never felt it. And my mom had forced me to go to church, and I was just like, why do I have to go if when I'm there I'm not even thinking about it, you know? I'm thinking, like, when are we going to get out of here? What are we going to eat after? Whatever, I didn't want to be there. And the third day, it was like it just came to me, and I started crying for no reason, and I didn't know why. And so she started hugging me, and I didn't know. I didn't know what to do, and they were like, oh, do you need prayer? And I was like, I don't know. I've never felt this before. And Johnny, he's like a father to me in many ways because I never had a dad. And like they said, he's a spiritual father. And I know that with the things that are going on for me right now, they're here for me. And I want to thank you for that and for everything you've done because you're my guide into here. And if it wouldn't have been for you guys, I wouldn't have been baptized or anything like that. And I'm glad that I have God in my life and that I have you guys in my life.
Thank you. Praise God. That was incredible. God is good. Erica?
Well, not that I don't love all of you guys, but Johnny and Linda have been a huge... Okay, now I'm going to cry. huge part of my life. And they have been a friend, a mentor, a counselor, role model. Johnny has been a dad to me and the pastors in my life for as long as I can remember. you are people that have helped challenge me and direct me through trials in my life. You are full of wisdom and always think I'm funny. I just want to thank you for being obedient to Christ and a consistent family and role models in my life. I appreciate you guys and all that you do.
Elena, could you come up here for a minute? Could you just sit in the front row? And I'm going to have some of the kids come up. Alana's our children's pastor. And so I got some kids to agree. Hopefully they'll stick to what they say. Irina, could you come up? And Sam and Max. And Joshua. And Noah. No? No Noah. Kiana? Are you sure, Noah? Come on, you can do it. No? Do you want to stand up here? Do you just want to stand up here? You can stand. Okay, here comes Noah. Okay, any other kids want to come up? That Kaysen, come on. Okay, so we're just going to pass the microphone down. You guys just say whatever you want to say about Alina.
She reminds me stuff that I forgot and that are important.
Well, I have a little thing. Well, to start off, when my dad told me about the kids' church getting a new teacher, I was mad and sad because I didn't want a new teacher. But after about 2 weeks with Miss Pryor in the kids' room, she had become my favorite teacher. She is energetic, fun and to be around, and on fire for God. She has been an amazing example for me of what on fire for God is.
Elena has been there for us for a long time, and she makes everything learn about God fun, and she loves us, and we love her a lot.
Well, I think that Mrs. Elena is really, really nice, and that I've really never even seen her mad before because she's always, like, happy, and she's just really nice, and I'm really thankful that I have her as my children's person or pastor.
Well, I'm in seventh grade, and I can't go in kids' church, but she has been there for me when, like, none of my family has been there for me.
Thank you, guys. Okay, Jason, could you bring up the gifts? And then if I could have all you guys come up here. Dana, Elena, come on. Randy, did you want to come up? And I'm just going to hand the gifts out to all these wonderful pastors. If you want to just, I don't know, do something while I do that. I don't know. Okay.
And then you can talk. Yeah, I'll sing. Play by play. She's going back. Her arm. Surrounded by defenders. Stephanie and Gerald Hines. Congratulations. Congratulations. Pastor Elena Pryor. Elena Pryor.
Mr. James and Dana McDonald, Jimmy. And the Sharps. And the Sharps. We are so honored, and I want to say, and I think you all feel the same way, that as I was standing back there and hearing all of these testimonies, the thread that just kept running through my heart was just real. Thank you, by the way, Sarah, for all this. She put all this together. You know, can we just give her a thank you? Thank you. You're a giving person, Sarah. You're a giving person. Thank you. But just to be real, and you know what I was thinking too, is that our old nature, it's not to be real. Our old nature is to be withdrawn, inclusive, to be about our own business, about our own selves, hypocrisy. A lot of things of our old nature, only the Spirit can bring about realness. And I know with myself, I was brought up with a lot of hypocrisy, and boy, God just keeps peeling that onion. But how fun and freeing it is to be exactly who God made you to be. You don't have to be anybody but you, the way that God made us. And so these people are a testimony of not only their maturity, but their willingness to see you grow. And that doesn't happen by accident. I heard a mother say one time, boy, that family has such wonderful children. I said, that's right. They didn't happen that way by accident. It was intentional. It was intentional. So these people have sought God, and God has used them. And so I want us to just close in prayer. And I think the couple things that really come to my heart is pray for their protection. And I'm just sharing this out loud at first, that you can pray for your pastors. Hopefully you do on a regular basis, for their protection, and that they would be thirsty. The only way we can grow is to be thirsty. Yep. We stop thirsting, we stop growing. So if you want to just again extend a hand toward them, and we're just going to close in prayer here. Father, we thank you so much for the gift of people that have made the sacrifice to follow you. Father, all any of us are responders. That's all we are. We have absolutely nothing to give. Nothing. But when we spend any time with you, then we have something. Then we have something. So, Father, I pray, first of all, that you would allow every day of their lives for these leaders to understand, first and foremost, that without you, they can do absolutely nothing. But yet with you, even though we really don't have anything, that with whatever that you've gifted us, that all things are possible. Father, I pray that you would continue, God, to make these leaders thirsty after you. Father, that they would ask you and that you would fan into flame the gifts that you've put within them. And Father, that they would continue to grow in your grace and in your mercy. Father, that they may love because you first loved them. May they continue to know your love. May your protection be over their families. May you guard them. May you guide them. May you grant them wisdom and favor, just like Solomon. He came before you and said, God, I don't have wisdom to lead this people. I need it from you. Father, may they be faithful in asking you for wisdom to guide and lead these people. And Father, I pray for the congregation that, Lord, that you would grant them a sensitivity in their spirit, that when you speak to them to pray a certain thing about their leaders, that they would do that. Because we're a body, we're a team, we're all in this together. Father, help us to be real in your Holy Spirit And when someone trips, when someone falls, God, may we be quick on mercy and grace, just like you are. We're all under construction, every single one. So God, bring us into complete freedom, and may we continue more and more to know your love, which brought every person into this room. It was your love, first and foremost. We love you, God. We praise you. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give them another round of applause.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Well, I guess, Pastor Jimmy, do you have a message for us?
I have some comments, a few comments.
Some comments, okay.
Are you new? Come on, man. I'm never going to be able to live that down now. So if I introduce myself to you twice or three times, just smile and say your name, okay? Guys, I want to thank you so much for the honor and privilege of allowing me to be your pastor. When I was 18 years old, God called me to be a minister. And I didn't know what that meant or what it looked like, but I knew that I didn't want any part of it. And I gave into it. I got married. My wife and I planned our lives around the call of God on our lives. And 3.5 years ago, we came to Green Bay with a heavier southern drawl than I have now. And you guys allowed us to speak into your life and to be a part of your life. And I can honestly say, just looking through the crowd, that there's not too many people in here that I haven't personally prayed with or dedicated your children or visited in the hospital or baptized and led you to Christ and prayed over you and ministered over you. And I'm so honored and privileged to be counted as your pastor. And I love you guys so very much. My heart is full this morning. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. When I came here, I set out a vision for this church. And God gave it to me. And I've mentioned it to you, time and time again. These banners are not just for looks. They indicate what our vision is. In October, 2 years ago, God gave me a word as I was praying here in the sanctuary over you guys, as is my practice all the time throughout the week. And I'll lay in here, I'll lay in the floor, I'll lay across these pews, I'll lay across these seats, and I'll weep and I'll pray over you guys. And as I'm silent before the Lord, he'll bring up certain people and I'll pray over you, and just as it comes up. And as I was praying, the Lord spoke to me, and he said that he wanted me to do a certain thing, that this church was going to be about a certain thing, and that is we are to be a planting church. And that means that we will be a planting church. We will plant other churches. And when I say that, I want to take that right back, because that puts me way out of my comfort zone. Because really, that's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to gather a bunch of people. You're supposed to cultivate this one large tree and make it the most fantastic, the most glorious and beautiful tree that you possibly could imagine. And you're to cultivate it, trim it, and so forth. But God said that you are not to cultivate a single tree, but you are to plant an orchard. And to me, that scares me to death. It really does. But this morning, I want to take this opportunity to cast a little vision to you this morning, and I'm just going to take 10 minutes and share with you what the Lord laid on my heart. As I was reading a book in preparation for a leadership conference I'm going to be speaking at next month, the Lord laid these thoughts on my mind. And in the days of the ancient Celtic church, from St. Paul or Patrick A.D. 43 to about 900 A.D., the Welsh, Irish, and Scottish had been making small boats so that they could launch into the sea, fish, and move around from place to place. These little boats were called coracle boats. These little boats, and if you'll put, there it is up on the screen. Just keep that boat up there the entire time, okay? These little boats were generally designed for one or two people and was in the shape of a walnut shell. Split willow rods were bent and interwoven to form a frame. Then it was covered in animal hide, and the seams were tarred. The boats were light and easy to carry from place to place and was propelled by a broad blade paddle and a rotor. The Celtic monks liked to build large coracles that would hold more people and set out to sea. Their coracles were rudderless, and they had no paddles whatsoever. And often the monks would take no oars. They hoisted their sails and trusted the winds and the tides and the currents, believing that God would take them where they were supposed to go and share the gospel. On one adventure, the winds blew the missionaries from Ireland to the tip of Cornwall. The king of the area there was so impressed that when they landed, that they were rudderless and they had no oars whatsoever. He was impressed, and he repented and received Christ as his Lord and Savior, and the entire kingdom was led to Christ because of these monks and their willingness to launch out onto an adventure. And with that said, I believe the Lord is asking us today, both as individuals and as a church, to set sail again and to trust him. He is wondering if we are willing to pull in our rudder and even throw away our oars and let the wind blow us. Jesus said in John 3:8, he said this, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Our Christian lives should be viewed as a journey, seeking an opportunity for growth and transformation. It appears to me that too many Christians and also too many churches have simply gotten stuck. They're in a rut instead of a journey. And you guys know what a rut is. It's a grave with both ends kicked out. That's what a rut is. God has called all of us to be on a journey. And whenever we cast out into the sea, into these little boats, for all our family sometimes and our friends and maybe even our church family looks at what God has called us to do, and we're thinking, are you crazy? My mother and my stepdad were absolutely beside themselves when I told them that I wanted to be a pastor, because it made no sense for me to build an oracle like you see up on the screens. It made no sense because I had already woven a boat that fit my life. Was to be a child psychologist. It fit my life. It fit my personality. I had planned for that all the way through high school. And now as an 18-year-old kid, God called me into the ministry, and it scared me to death. But yet I began to build a different boat. Now my mom was mad and upset because she was afraid and she didn't understand. Today she is my biggest fan. But God has called each and every one of us individually in this room to cultivate, to build a coracle for yourself individually. Husbands, you are to build that coracle for your families so that you can set sail on whatever God has called you to do in your life. In this church, we have seen and we have sent other people out to Vietnam and to other parts of the world to be students, to be missionaries. We sent the Joys down to Texas to do ministry down there. We are a sending church. Each one of us has to say yes individually to what God's plan is for our life and start building your boat, whatever that looks like. If God tells you when you set sail to let go of your oar, to throw your paddle overboard and set your sail, then we need to do that. and trust that the Lord is going to take us where he pleases. Because our lives is not about our good pleasure, but it's about his good pleasure. And so it's important to us that we not get stuck in a rut, but we get busy in building our coracle. That we get busy going on our journey. And believe me, whenever God speaks something to your life, I want you to do this. I want you to protect the word that is spoken over your life. And what do I mean by that? I mean, don't go telling every single body what God has called you to do. Only tell those that have spiritual authority over your life so that they can pray and see if that bears witness with the call of God on your life. Don't go telling everybody, because not everybody is going to understand what God is saying. Amen? And so following Jesus, it's a journey. It demands movement, change, action, and most of all, courage. Any journey involves some sort of risk and adventure. We have to move outside our comfort zone and head into the unknown. I firmly believe that God is calling his church right now to move out with him. There will be winds and there will be waves and currents, but we got to trust that the Holy Spirit will guide us and move us where he wants us to be. Too many of us have decided to stay on the shore while the Spirit of God wants to take us for a ride. We tend to gravitate toward the known rather than the unknown. We will never reach the new place God has in mind for us if we don't hop in and go for that ride. God has called us to build our coracle. George McLeod once said, "Christians are explorers, not map makers. It is a present experience made possible by Bethlehem, offered on Calvary, and communicated at Pentecost." We lose testimonies of his faithfulness if we do not take risks. That's what a testimony is. It's we've heard the call of God on our life, and we do it afraid. You'll hear me say that a lot as your pastor. When we become obedient to God and we do it even afraid. Do you know, moving here to Green Bay, I was afraid. I was nervous. I had built a business back in Savannah, Tennessee that made a handsome living for me and my family. I was comfortable. Dana had just gone through nursing school, was working a job that she liked. But yet the call of God was still in my spirit. And whenever God began to speak to me about Green Bay, I began to say, "No way." But yet as I began to pray about it, and I didn't tell Dana for a while because I knew that she would jump all over that, and I wanted to make sure that it was from the Lord. And so when I was convinced that it was from the Lord, I spoke to Dana about it. And then I reached out to Calvin King because he was the one that was on the pastoral search committee. He was the chairman. And I said, "Hi, my name is Jimmy McDonald, and man, I'm really interested in the church. I really, been praying about it, and what's the process?" He said, "Well, there's 57 resumes that have already been given." And I was like, "Good grief, 57 resumes, really?" And so I told Dana, and I said, "Dana, we're supposed to be in Green Bay." And so we began to build our coracle because I knew God had called us. I didn't tell my family because I knew they wouldn't understand at the moment, but we kept building. And as the process went along, our name kept landing on the top of the pile. And then there was Skype interviews and phone calls, and then eventually they flew us here. And before we flew here, I called the realtor and I told her, I said, "I need you to come and list our house because we're moving." Now, I didn't tell you when I came to preach that I did that, because that would be weird. But I stand up here 3.5 years later telling you that this is the process of our obedience. We've built our coracle and we threw away our oar and we threw away our paddles and we landed in Green Bay. And because of that, I look around and I see faces that were not here 3.5 years ago. I hear these testimonies that bring tears to my eyes and embarrassment to my soul of what God has done through our obedience. And we built this boat, and we were pretty sure where we were going. And when we landed, we hit the ground running. And I said, God, I need workers. And God sent Johnny and Linda. He solidified Gerald and Stephanie here. He raised up Elena right here in our church to do a wonderful work to minister to you and your children. And I thank God for that. But too many of us has decided to stay on the shore. Now, we lose our testimony again if we do not take risks. Let me give you a few examples, and I'm going to close right here. If Daniel had not continued to pray to God instead of to King Darius, he would have never seen the miracle of the lion's den. If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had not refused to bow down to the golden image, they would not have been saved from the fiery furnace. If Queen Esther had not risked her life to go into the king's throne room unannounced, her family would have never been saved. Stories of faith require risk and setting out into the unknown. It's then and only then do we see God come through. I believe it is time for our adventure to begin to play out as well, and that we no longer play it safe any longer. The late Irish poet John, I can't pronounce his last name, wrote a poem called Fluent. And this is what it says. It said, I would love to live like the river flows, carried by the surprise of its unfolding. God wants us to flow along with him, bouncing in the current that he generates, not the one society spawns, and being swept away in the wind that he blows. He longs, church, he longs to surprise us. I want you to remember your pastor's words this morning. We are not map makers. We are those that are on journeys. We are on a journey set by the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you that if you don't know what God's plan is or his will for your life is, start asking and seeking, knocking, because he said, I will be found by you. And whenever you hear his voice, become obedient and start building your oracle. And he will lead you and guide you to his good pleasure and to his glory. Amen. And I also believe that in the very near future, we're going to have church planters on this stage, and we're going to bless them, and we're going to send them out. I thank God that God has called us to do this. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know exactly at what point it's going to happen, but I do know this, it will happen. And because of that, at the beginning of the first of the year, we're going to start setting money aside. Because you got to put your money where your mouth is, amen? And you can plan and you can plan, you can plan and you can plan, but sometimes there's never any action. But a New Freedom Church, I don't care how small or how big we are, we're going to invest in others and we're going to plant churches, amen? You guys, would you stand with me today? I'm going to read Jesus' words one more time. Jesus said, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Guys, our lives should be viewed as a journey, as seeking an opportunity to grow and to be transformed into his good pleasure. Amen? Never say that God can't use you. God can use your life. If you're a brand new Christian here today, if you still don't have it all figured out, welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. If you're going through a mess, if you're going through a test in your life, I like what Dana said last night. She said, when a test is given, the teacher is silent. And you know, we all go through those things. Through your test and through your journey, keep building. Keep being obedient and set sail to what God wants you to do on this great adventure. Amen? Father, I come before you today and I thank you so much, Lord, for my church family. This is my family away from my family. And I thank you for their love toward me and my family. I thank you for their heart toward us. And Lord, I feel their prayers weekly as they pray for me. And I thank you, Father, for Gerald and Stephanie and Elena. I thank you, Lord, for Johnny and Linda. Lord, you have sent me your best to work alongside of me in leading this wonderful church in Howard, Wisconsin. And Lord, I ask that you would step us, bring us out into the water, into our oracle, with both feet in, and not one foot on shore, not one foot in the oracle, but both feet square in our boats, ready to set sail and to lead this church where you would have us go. And Lord, I pray for those that I am leading. I pray, Lord, that they would not be a hindrance, but that they would be a blessing, that they would call upon your name to seek your face and your guidance and your wisdom and your journey for their life. And I pray, Lord, that they would find their home at New Freedom, that they would find their calling here at New Freedom, that they would experience love beyond recognition here at New Freedom. And God, may they flourish here at New Freedom. And Lord, may we be mindful of our community. May we love them as Christ loved us. May we love them. May our prayers be toward this community as we reach out to touch the lost, the grieving, the hurt, the bound up, the destitute. God, may we be your hands and feet. May we be your arms extended. May we love with your love. May we share compassion with your compassion. May we have a heart for people like you have a heart for me. Father, we'll be careful to give you all the glory and honor and praise in the precious, mighty name of Jesus, lover of my soul. Amen and amen. Give God a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen.
Natalie, would just like to share just a couple of quick sentences with you if I can have your attention.
I'm addicted to the mic now. So my sister's in Argentina. She's there for missionary school. She felt that was something God was calling her to do. We talk on a daily basis, and this morning I said I'd been asked to talk in church and how the pastors and New Freedom Church have changed my life. But I started it by saying, oh, I'm going to talk in church today. And she's like, oh, about how wonderful I am? I'm like, not exactly. But when I told her it was about, you know, the church and what the pastor had done for me, she had actually said something that I wanted to share. So imagine I'm Sarah. Dana and Jimmy, today is not just another day. My heart is overflowing with gratitude for you both. My life has forever changed because of your godly wisdom and leadership. Endless talks and questions you have guided me and watched over me. Not only are you my pastors, but my family. I can't thank God enough for you both and your family. Thank you for everything you do. Thank you for encouraging me when I wanted to give up. Thank you for creating not just a church, but a place I can call home, where I feel safe and where my growth started. And most of all, thank you for being obedient to the call God put upon your lives. Lives that are changing because you said yes to his call. I love you guys. Happy Pastor's Day.
Thank you. Thank you for that.